Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and buckle up, fans, because today we're chatting all about the women of Marvel in the series Empower to celebrate Women's History Month. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely Marvel special correspondent, Miss Melinda. Welcome back, friend.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. That being said, happy Women's History Month, friend.
Happy Women's History Month, friend. All right. I love being a woman.
Said no one ever. No, I'm kidding.
Said no one ever.
I don't know about you, but when I think about strong women in a fandom, the women of Marvel definitely come to my mind. And I have to say, the series on Disney Plus did not disappoint.
Listen, I wrote my notes down and I knew I had strong emotions about this topic, but I didn't really know just how strong my emotions were. And, you know, Empower was released last year. And as an MCU fan, I really enjoyed it. It was very empowering and very informative, but also it was victim to the dive bombing of reviews. You know, mostly men who didn't enjoy it. In the history of the MCU, we really didn't get a solo female lead movie until Captain Marvel back in, what was it, 2019? And she received a lot of harassment on social media. Unfortunately, only a few of her fellow cast members came to support her. In contrast to in that meme of which Chris is like the worst.
Right.
And everyone came out to support Chris Pratt, and even RDJ like photoshopped a behind the scenes picture to support him. So it's just a reflection of the MCU that people throw out, which is a really pathetic complaint because it's, you know, it's about equal representation. Like, we did get a Black Widow movie, but it was after her death in Endgame, and it was about her time before Infinity War. So we never really got an origin story like the other Avengers, which, you know, we should have. I would have loved to have seen the Red Room. But, you know, we did. But, like, I would have loved to see her training in the Red Room. But as stated by Victoria Alonso, the industry back then during phase one was a much different climate. She wouldn't have been able to have those conversations about sexism with her director and see it actually translate on screen. So, for example, in phase one and two combined, I believe there's a total of 11 like white male directors and writers. Now, during this is phase one and two. And during this same exact time, there were only 3 women on the production team during these 2 phases. Now, let's skip ahead to phase 4 after Feige became CEO. We now have 6 women as directors, writers, and producers just in phase 4, which is 7 movies. And while that's a really big step in the right direction, there are still some issues within the MCU. The majority of the women, like, if I want to say if not all,
right,
but the majority of them are killed off to support the storyline of the male characters. You know, there's Frigga, Natasha, Ajax, supposedly Wanda. I don't believe she's dead. She's coming back. But, you know, Aunt May, Maria Hill, Ying Li, Jane Foster, they were all sacrificed to support the men's plot development. When I wrote my notes, there was about 7 pages of notes, and it was mostly female rage. I then edited my notes, and here we are.
Question for you. Did you ever, or do you know of the documentary, This Changes Everything? It's Gina Davis.
Yes, that's one by Gina Davis. I do know of that one. That was right around the Me Too movement, wasn't it?
Correct. So the way I gauged this series was how much progress has been made since that documentary came out, which, for those of you who don't know, the documentary This Changes Everything does a great job highlighting the sexism in Hollywood. And I'm not talking just about actresses. I'm talking about cast, crew, directors, producers, etc., and they make a point of going through different networks, the male to female ratio based on cast and crew per network. And I know they highlighted Disney, but I don't think they touched on Marvel, but they went through FX, which I think had the best rating, but they touched on CBS, NBC, all the networks, all the major players. And that's how I was gauging this series in particular. And the statistic that stood out to me was, if you had a plate of 100 cookies and you took 99 of them away and then cut the last remaining cookie in half, that is the percentage of women in Hollywood working as cast, crew, producers, writers, and directors in Hollywood. So, you know, to tag on to what you said, progress has been made, but there's a lot more work to be done. We're still fighting the good fight here.
So for those of you who don't know, Empower, it is a documentary about the history and the untold stories of some of the most iconic women in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The women share their triumphs and are joined by fans whose lives are touched by the stories of their heroes.
All right. Well, I'm ready for some tea. Are you ready for some tea?
I am ready. Let's spill it.
All right. This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So for those of you who have not watched Empower on Disney Plus, we are about to spoil it for you. All right. Serious question time, my friend. Serious question time. What was your favorite episode?
Mine is going to be Scarlet Witch. Wanda was introduced during Age of Ultron, and she has a very tragic story. She lost her parents, her brother, Vision, and all she wanted was a family. And through her grief, she created a reality where she could have that, and she fought to keep it, essentially. No, WandaVision opened up the floor to converse about mental health and how important it is to bring light to these issues such as depression, anxiety, stress, panic attacks. I know I have anxiety, and it's something that people might talk about with close friends who also understand or are dealing with the same things. No, or they could talk with a therapist, but it's not something that's usually discussed out in the open. And, you know, discussing mental health, it's hard to talk about with other people, but seeing a fictional character on screen helps. It's like, oh, this person gets it. This is what I'm feeling too. And help come to that realization that they're not alone. What was your favorite episode?
Scarlet Witch was a very close second. And I'm not here to badmouth any of the episodes. They all had their own strengths across the board, but I loved Black Panther. It was such a strong episode. I think what sold it for me was finding out that Ryan Coogler made a point of making sure his crew was 75% women for Black Panther. And that was brand new information to me. I already loved Black Panther to begin with, but I was like, oh, I'm sold. Okay, here we go. The storytelling was beautiful too, and hearing everybody's background, but the sisterhood with the Dora Milaje was so beautiful to hear all their candid testimonials and what it meant to them to be a part of the Dora Milaje. I was sold. It was just beautifully done. Okay, what caught you off guard?
I'm going to go right back to that Wanda episode. I didn't realize that WandaVision was themed around the stages of grief.
Oh, me either. Yeah, brand new information.
Brand new. Once it was pointed out to me, I was just sitting there going, this is completely obvious, but I didn't see it when it first aired. But now I see it. I'm like, how did I not see this? So how about you?
There was a sense of responsibility with every testimonial, whether it came from cast or crew, and they really owned it. Because of course, I expected them to say, I love being a part of a Marvel movie. I love being a part of the Marvel Empire and family and whatever. And of course it's cool, but they took it so seriously and they knew the impact of the roles that they were signing up for, whether it's post-production or acting or writing or whatever. They did their research and said, look, this could have easily been handed to a guy. We were chosen because we can deliver a woman's perspective and deliver it well. And they, again, just took that responsibility and aimed for the stars.
Following up on that, there was the Captain Marvel episode where the editor was explaining that when Carol is fighting against the Supreme Intelligence and they filmed multiple takes, she chose the one where Carol had a tear And people couldn't understand why she went with that edit. And it's her way of saying, no, emotions are what make us strong. And it's important to show that. I was just blown away.
I mean, the fact that she had to defend that answer too hits a nerve, but also she knew what she was doing. Don't question her. She was hired for a reason. Anywho, off my soapbox.
Yes.
What caught you in your feels? Because I know I was feeling all the feels
Oh my
in every
God. Okay.
episode.
I had a couple of things real quickly. The first one, I didn't expect the illustrations of the actors next to their characters while they were in their interviews. Black Panther, I was crying. WandaVision, I was crying. The big one that touched me was in the Gamora episode. They spoke with James Gunn, and he spoke about that one scene where Nebula and Gamora are fighting, and that Gamora reaches out to Nebula to hug her, and Nebula brings up a hand and hugs her sister back, and it's a wide, zoomed out shot. James Gunn was getting emotional talking about it. It portrayed, how the relationship evolved. Nebula saying, you always had a win when I just wanted a sister. Oh, in the feels. I'm just going to sit off to the side with a tissue box. What was yours?
I absolutely loved Iman Vellani's testimonial because she, to me, is the ultimate fangirl. To hear the why and the how of how she was casted as Ms. Marvel and to see who inspired her character was the writer behind the show. And I loved it. And I knew she was a dedicated Marvel fan going into it. And she was exactly who the women of Marvel inspire, only for her to go out for the role, be casted and work with Captain Marvel. This is years of work in the making of who you guys inspire on a regular basis. So I thought that was just like a full circle moment. What was your favorite fun fact?
I was unaware of the number of women who enrolled in the Air Force. It
Right?
like enrollment increased, I think they said by 20% or
50.
something. It was 50
Yeah.
after Captain Marvel was released. Now, when I remember I saw Captain Marvel and they had the ad for the Air Force in the trailers, and I thought to myself, man, if I was younger, this movie would have sealed the deal for me.
What was your favorite interview? And it can be either cast or crew.
Mine's part of the crew. It was towards the end of the Black Panther episode with Hannah Beechler, the production designer. She talked about how there's still a lot of work to do even after the Oscars. She is the first woman who was nominated and won the Oscar for Best Production Design. And her quote, people said to her, you broke the glass ceiling, but I'm not interested in the glass ceiling. I'm interested in the brick wall, because if I take down the brick wall, I'll bring down the building so we can redesign it. That's the only way to go forward. Oh, and with the animation with it,
Right.
my God, that was so powerful. What was your
And
favorite interview?
mine was also crew related, but it was Debbie Berman, the post-production editor. And she was the post-production for both Black Panther and Captain Marvel. And seeing her passion for working on Black Panther with her being from Johannesburg, knowing that she understood the language that they were speaking, and she just had a lot of pride and she shed light on a lot of subjects that just did not cross my mind, similar to the mental health situation with Scarlet Witch. I was like, well, that's just how you tell a story. But again, she had to prove how she could tell a story. And I was like, you already got hired for the job and they're still giving you pushback. Ah, welcome to being a woman. What was your most important or favorite takeaway from the whole series?
I think one of my favorite takeaways, Karen Gillan said in her interview that it's important for these movies to reflect society, diversity, all genders. These movies need to reflect the real society. White straight men aren't the end all be all. We're diverse, and media should also be diverse.
And now it is time for the spotlight of the week. Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews. The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun, fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast. Looking to move? 24/7 Moving is a full-service moving company based in LA. At 24/7 Moving, they understand moving can be overwhelming sometimes, and they see this as their responsibility to alleviate the pressure and stress. Their professional team provides fun, friendly, and secure local and long-distance services throughout the U.S. Their highly skilled and well-trained team has combined experience of over 3,000 moves, including commercial and residential. They deliver smooth and stress-free moving and packing services at affordable prices. I've personally used 24/7 Moving and have never been so impressed with a team of movers in my life. They weren't just fast and efficient, they were affordable, and the guest service was unmatched to anything I've ever worked with before. For more information, visit them online at 247moving.com.
We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Disney Plus, Marvel Studios, Sinistar, Herzog & Company, or Just Entertainment. We're just really big fans who are also really excited to see more stories of female heroes because we enjoy action movies too.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.